I'm in a simple black unitard that covers me from ankle to neck. Shiny leather boots lace up to my knees, but it's the fluttering cape made of streams of orange, yellow, and red, and the matching headpiece that define this costume. Cinna plans to light them on fire just before our chariot rolls into the street. It's not real flame, of course, just a little synthetic fire portion I came up with. You'll be perfectly safe, he says. But I'm not convinced I won't be perfectly barbecued by the time we reach the city center. My face is relatively clear of makeup, just a bit of highlighting here and there. My hair has been brushed out and then braided down my back in my usual style. I want the audience to recognize you when you're in the arena, says Cinna dreamily. Katniss, the girl who was on fire. It crosses my mind that Cinna's calm and normal demeanor masks a complete madman. Despite this morning's revelation about Peeta's character, I'm actually relieved when he shows up, dressed in an identical costume. He should know about fire, being a baker's son and all. His stylist, Portia, and her team accompany him, and everyone is absolutely giddy with excitement over what a splash will make. Except Cinna. He just seems a bit weary as he accepts congratulations. We're whisked down to the bottom level of the Remake Center, which is essentially a gigantic stable. The opening ceremonies are about to start. Pairs of tributes are being loaded into chariots pulled by teams of four horses. Ours are coal black. The animals are so well trained, no one even needs to guide their reins. Cinna and Portia direct us into the chariot and carefully arrange our body positions, the drape of our capes, before moving off to consult with each other. What do you think? I whispered to Peeta about the fire. I'll rip off your cape if you'll rip off mine, he says through gritted teeth. Deal, I say. Maybe if we can get them off soon enough, we'll avoid the worst burns. It's bad, though. They'll throw us into the arena no matter what condition we're in. I know we promised Haymitch we'd do exactly what they said, but I don't think he considered this angle. Where is Haymitch anyway? Isn't he supposed to protect us from this sort of thing? Says Peeta. With all that alcohol in him, it's probably not advisable to have him around an open flame, I say. And suddenly, we're both laughing. I guess we're both so nervous about the games and more pressingly petrified of being turned into human torches, we're not acting sensibly. The opening music begins. It's easy to hear, blasted around the Capitol. Massive doors slide open, revealing the crowd-lined streets. The ride lasts about 20 minutes and ends up at the city circle, where they will welcome us, play the anthem, and escort us into the training center, which will be our home/prison until the games begin. The tributes from District 1 ride out in a chariot pulled by snow-white horses. They look so beautiful, spray-painted silver in tasteful tunics glittering with jewels. District 1 makes luxury items for the capital. You can hear the roar of the crowd. They are always favorites. District 2 gets into position to follow them. In no time at all, we are approaching the door, and I can see that between the overcast sky and evening hour, the light is turning gray. The tributes from District 11 are just rolling out when Cinna appears with a lighted torch. Here we go, then, he says, and before we can react, he sets our capes on fire. I gasp, waiting for the heat, but there is only a faint, tickling sensation. Cinna climbs up before us and ignites our headdresses. He lets out a sigh of relief. It works. Then he gently tucks a hand under my chin. Remember, heads high, smiles. They're going to love you. Cinna jumps off the chariot and has one last idea. He shouts something up at us, but the music drowns him out. He shouts again and gestures. What's he saying? I ask Peeta. For the first time, I look at him and realize that ablaze with the fake flames, he is dazzling. And I must be too. I think he said for us to hold hands, says Peeta. He grabs my right hand in his left, and we look to Cinna for confirmation. He nods and gives a thumbs up, and that's the last thing I see before we enter the city. The crowd's initial alarm at our appearance quickly changes to cheers and shouts of District 12. Every head is turned our way, pulling the focus from the three chariots ahead of us. At first, I'm frozen, but then I catch sight of us on a large television screen and am floored by how breathtaking we look. In the deepening twilight, the firelight illuminates our faces. We seem to be leaving a trail of fire off the flowing capes. Cinna was right about the minimal makeup. We both look more attractive, but utterly recognizable. Remember, heads high, smiles, they're gonna love you. I hear Cinna's voice in my head. I lift my chin a bit higher, put on my most winning smile, and wave with my free hand. I'm glad now I have Peeta to clutch for balance. He is so steady, solid as a rock. As I gain confidence, I actually blow a few kisses to the crowd. The people of the capital are going nuts, showering us with flowers, shouting our names, our first names, which they have bothered to find on the program. The pounding music, the cheers, the admiration work their way into my blood, and I can't suppress my excitement. Cinna has given me a great advantage. No one will forget me. Not my look, not my name. Katniss, the girl who was on fire. For the first time, I feel a flicker of hope rising up in me. Surely there must be one sponsor willing to take me on. And with a little extra help, some food, the right weapon, why should I count myself out of the games? Someone throws me a red rose. I catch it, give it a delicate sniff, and blow a kiss back in the general direction of the giver. 100 hands reach up to catch my kiss as if it were a real and tangible thing. Katniss! Katniss! I can hear my name being called from all sides. Everyone wants my kisses. It's not until we enter the city circle that I realize I must have completely stopped the circulation in Peeta's hand. That's how tightly I've been holding it. I look down at our linked fingers as I loosen my grasp, but he regains his grip on me. No, don't let go of me, he says. The firelight flickers off his blue eyes. Please, I might fall out of this thing. Okay, I say. So I keep holding on, but I can't help feeling strange about the way Cinna has linked us together. It's not really fair to present us as a team and then lock us into the arena to kill each other. The 12 chariots fill the loop of the city circle. On the buildings that surround the circle, every window is packed with the most prestigious citizens of the capital. Our horses pull our chariot right up to President Snow's mansion, and we come to a halt. The music ends with a flourish. The president, a small, thin man with paper-white hair, gives the official welcome from a balcony above us. It is traditional to cut away to the faces of the tributes during the speech. But I can see on the screen that we are getting way more than our share of airtime. The darker it becomes, the more difficult it is to take your eyes off our flickering. When the national anthem plays, they do make an effort to do a quick cut around to each pair of tributes, but the camera holds on the District 12 chariot as it parades around the circle one final time and disappears into the training center. The doors have only just shut behind us when we're engulfed by the prep teams, who are nearly unintelligible as they babble out praise. As I glance around, I notice a lot of the other tributes are shooting us dirty looks, which confirms what I've suspected. We've literally outshone them all. Then Cinna and Portia are there, helping us down from the chariot, carefully removing our flaming capes and headdresses. Portia extinguishes them with some kind of spray from a canister. I realize I'm still glued to Peeta and force my stiff fingers to open. We both massage our hands. Thanks for keeping hold of me. I was getting a little shaky there, says Peeta. It didn't show, I tell him. I'm sure no one noticed. I'm sure they didn't notice anything but you. You should wear flames more often, he says. They suit you. And then he gives me a smile that seems so genuinely sweet, with just the right touch of shyness, that unexpected warmth rushes through me.